Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp is here reporting on the cyber breach at the Office of Personnel Management. And OPM is very careful to characterize this, Emily, as a technical malfunction and not a cyber attack. You're reporting that that makes a difference about how we look at that. Thanks for coming on. What is that difference?
Well, simply put, yes, and they describe it as technical malfunction, a security glitch, something that didn't go right on Monday when all of a sudden some retirees who logged onto the online services at OPM were able to see the personal information of other retirees. I asked some experts this because this is not the first time that OPM has exposed data of people for which it is responsible. It's happened at contractors of late, KeyPoint most recently, in December. So throwing this question to some cybersecurity experts, they said this isn't surprising at all. And it's not the Office of Personnel Management. But in fact, civilian agencies are suffering from a dearth of IT people, such as applications developers, who really understand cybersecurity so that they can bake it into the services that are being put online by the agencies and by their contractors.
You talked to Alan Paller at the SANS Institute, a multi-time guest on this program and on Federal News Radio, and he suggested to you this lack of cybersecurity brain power, essentially, is where the shortcoming is, it sounds like, Emily.
He has a pretty strong view about this, but if I can just sum it up, he says, competition for cybersecurity, people who have cybersecurity skills, is really fierce. So it costs a lot of money to hire them. And those companies, those contractors or agencies that do tend to have the more lucrative intelligence work. So contractors who are able to get these top security guys, they go after those contracts. Civilian agencies, and these are not his words, but they're mine, they sort of have the dregs of it. People who understand cybersecurity, but perhaps not at the same level. And so what you get are these technical malfunctions, security glitches, and the like that are completely preventable if the people who are actually writing the code had a better understanding of cybersecurity. Another thing he told me was that colleges don't put emphasis on cybersecurity in a large part, most colleges, when they are teaching people how to program and how to code. It's often an elective at school. So it's very much, this is not something that has to do with cybersecurity workers that we hear so much about, but people who understand cybersecurity who are doing these types of technology functions.
The concept of cybersecurity and technology security being an elective in 2015 is amazing to me. The idea that this is not something that is woven into the curricula of schools across the country. This whole idea, though, of cybersecurity being implemented and being embedded in applications is not new. This is something that one person in particular is Mark Forman, the former eGov administrator. He's been talking about this, pounding this for a long, long time. And I suppose the most disappointing thing out of this OPM experience, given that it wasn't a full-blown cyber attack, is that this is something that in 2015 we're still not seeing that embedding or embroidering of security into these applications ahead of time. They're still being added on as an afterthought, Emily, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. And to add to that, I asked Alan Paller about what he thought about President Barack Obama's new proposal regarding cybersecurity and the president urging Congress to pass legislation that has stalled for years now about primarily data sharing. And Alan said, data sharing is great, but if you don't have the people at the other end who can understand that data and know how to use it and have these cyber awareness, then it's not going to do you much good. So it's in a way putting the cart before the horse, in that no one really is talking about teaching cybersecurity awareness. And I think if you look at what's happening at Sony or what happened last year at Target, I mean, all these things, it's kind of like, oh my goodness, there's cybersecurity attacks. They just snuck up on us. But it almost seems like we were asleep at the wheel, because there have been these sorts of things all the time. People just don't really fully understand how to deal with them.
Could part of it be a lack of appreciation for the value of the data that federal organizations keep, Emily? I mean, when you talk about each of those private sector examples, those are companies that were holding tremendously, tremendously valuable, essentially intellectual property. And that's really what the federal government holds, too. It's intellectual property. It's information that it, as an organization, has gathered and assembled and is now making that available. And I wonder if that might be a part of the problem.
Well, it's part and parcel of the federal government, right? And I spoke with another expert, Simon Crosby, who is at Bromium over in California, and it advises agencies on cybersecurity. And he said cybersecurity at civilian agencies is the underbelly of the government, because agencies, and he was using HHS, Health and Human Services, and Veterans Affairs as examples, they're focused on their missions of providing healthcare or serving veterans. And that's not, cybersecurity won't be found in their mission statements, but because of what they do and the personal information of federal employees and others that they hold, they are going to be the ones that are targeted for cyber attacks. And so this is a twofold problem, because on one hand, you have what Alan Powler was talking about, which was this missing sort of knowledge base to build things right, build things hardened or secure. And then on the other hand, you have these people from the outside who are all too willing to try to get this information because it's valuable to them.